Hey, everybody. This is Bob Andelman from Mr. Media. First of all, I want to thank you for years of support listening to this show. We're starting our sixth year. It's hard to believe our sixth year as 2012 starts and heading towards our 1,000th online podcast, audio and video. It's pretty amazing, frankly. I remember starting it several years ago thinking this will never last. And podcasts, that's as stupid a word as blogging. But here we are, starting our sixth year and heading up to 1,000 interviews. And I want to thank everybody for listening and supporting the show. I also want to tell you that, you know, one of the things that's been very helpful for this show is Stitcher Radio. Yes, this is sort of a commercial. Now, there are millions of smartphone apps in the world, but I only use one several times a day, Stitcher Radio. I build my own radio station to listen to broadcast and online shows when I want and in the order I want. CNN News Update, Onion Radio News, WTF with Mark Maron, MSNBC's Morning Joe, Studio 60, the TechCrunch headlines, and, of course, Mr. Media. It's free. It works on iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, Palm Pre, and much more. And you can get it for free for yourself. Try it out. I guarantee you're going to love it. Stitcher.com/MRMedia. That's Stitcher.com/MrMedia. You're going to love it. And thanks again for supporting the show. Now let's get to the good stuff. Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to George Anastasia, co-author of The Ultimate Book of Gangster Movies. Stick around. I can't wait to check out the big brain on Brett again. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of made men who wouldn't kill as many people if they had to clean up after themselves. In the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Every criminal I have put in prison, every cop that owes me a favor, every creeping scumbag that walks the street for a living will know the name of Verbal Kint.
The danger of writing the ultimate book of anything is if you wind up demonstrating that you ultimately don't know much about everything. Now, that didn't turn out to be an issue for George Anastasia and Glenn Macnow, co-authors of The Ultimate Book of Gangster Movies. Their list of the 100 greatest gangster films of all time includes just enough of the films you'd expect to see and enough surprises to convince the skeptics among us that they did their research. The book is packed with detail and affirmation of why any one of the 100 deserves its place on the list, from the Godfather films at numbers 1 and 2 through The Freshman at number 100. And yes, it's truly Marlon Brando's world, and if we keep accepting his offer we can't refuse, he'll probably let us keep living in it. They know no one will agree with the entire list. They want us to debate the merits of certain choices. Maybe Woody Allen's Bullets Over Broadway, for example. Of course, with a thoroughly gangsta name like Anastasia, and of location in New Jersey, my guest today knows it has to be good, right? George Anastasia, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate it.
Good to have you. You know, there are certainly some movies scattered throughout the book that will cause some good arguments, but have you been challenged at all about the first two Godfather films being at the top, or is everyone in agreement on that?
I think most people recognize the Godfather movies kind of set a standard. A couple people we've talked to would argue that Goodfellas should have come in ahead of the Godfather movies only because Goodfellas is probably more realistic. But, I mean, that's the whole point of the book, is to have debate about this. I think you can argue about the rankings, but I think if you look at the top 10, the top 20, I think we're on pretty solid ground in terms of those are the top 20 best all-time gangster movies.
Now, I got to ask you, Joe Pistone, who is Donnie Brasco, of course,
right,
has been on this show. He was one of the first guests on the show several years ago. I got to ask you, though, If he had not agreed to do the forward, would Donnie Brasco still be in the top 10? And listen, nobody's listening, so tell me the truth.
No, absolutely. In fact, Goodfellas and Donnie Brasco, from my estimation, and I cover organized crime for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Goodfellas and Donnie Brasco are the two most realistic gangster movies, I think, that we have in the book. They really capture that whole, the life, and it's treacherous and gritty and dirty. There's not a lot of nobility or honor. And I think, I would argue, and Glenn and I have had this debate, I would argue that Pacino in Donnie Brasco is his best gangster role. I mean, he nailed Lefty Ruggiero. It's not Pacino playing Michael Corleone, it's Pacino as Lefty Ruggiero. And I think the only other movie he did that was when he portrayed Serpico. And all the other movies, it's great acting, but you know it's Pacino being the guy.
Mm. Serpico, definitely my favorite Pacino movie. I love that movie. I got to admit, I'll probably get some heat for this. I'm not a huge Goodfellas fan. I don't know, something about it that just, you know, Godfather movies, tremendous movies. I think Donnie Brasco is a great movie. I don't know. I never got into Goodfellas.
You'd be on the short side of that argument. A lot of people love Goodfellas for a lot of different reasons. The acting, the pacing, the music. It really, I think, caught a vibe, caught the way that life really is. And you don't necessarily have to like these guys, but I think Henry Hill and the guys around them were what they were. And I think they did a great job. Scorsese did a great job putting the movie together.
Oh, Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how. What?
You're funny.
You mean, let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little fucked up, maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you? I make you laugh? I'm here to fucking amuse you? What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Do you know how you tell the story? What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
Get the fuck out of here, Tommy.
You motherfucker. I almost had him. You stuttering prick. Frankie, was he shaking?
All right, so sort of take us behind the scenes with you and your co-author, Glenn. What did you guys most agree upon on the list? What was the easy part about putting the list together?
Well, I mean, when I was approached to write this with Glenn had done an earlier book called The Ultimate Book of Sports Movies. And the publishers, when they came up with the idea for the sequel, said to Glenn, you got to contact Anastasia. He's the mob expert, blah, blah, blah. So we sat down at a pizzeria, had some wine and a pizza, and we talked about, all right, here's the top 30 movies. We know these are going to be in the book. So let's sort that out. So we had like a list of 30, 35 movies, and we had like a football draft, and we each picked one, and we ended up with 15 each. And then we built off of that. We didn't have too many arguments in terms of the ranking. Once, I joined Netflix, he did. We started getting films. We would look at a film, write an essay. He'd send me his. I'd send him mine. We'd talk about it. And ultimately, when we had about 60 or 70 done, then we started to think about, all right, what ranks where. Not too many arguments. I think we went in conceding that the Godfather movies were a classic, and they really run in tandem, 1-2-2-1. It doesn't really matter. Those are the movies. The biggest argument we had was over Al Pacino's Scarface.
Hmm.
Were it up to Glenn, it would have been in the top 10. Were it up to me, it wouldn't have made the top 20. I think we brought it in at 16. I mean, it was a great idea. It was a sequel to or a remake of a classic, Scarface, The Shame of the Nation, the Paul Mooney movie. I'm the one who looked at it and did the essay, and I came away with the thought that the narrative got lost. It was a great premise, but the second half of the movie is just Pacino dropping F-bombs and shooting people.
I'm with you.
It's an iconic movie. There's a whole generation that loves the movie, but that doesn't mean it's a great movie. And that's why I didn't want it in the top 10, and as I said, I wouldn't have had it in the top 20.
There's some great lines, that people repeat, and there's some amazing scenes, but I just didn't think it held together. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, say hello to my little friend. Everybody throws that line out. Everybody knows that line. But that doesn't make it a great movie. So that's the biggest, I think, argument that Glenn and I had. And we're still having it. When we go on book signings and we have discussions, we still have that argument. And people join in on both sides of the issue.
You want to play rough? Okay.
No.
Say hello to my little friend.
I think one of the things that surprised me in the overall list is that there weren't 100 American gangster movies to fill out the list. That you've got German, I think, and French, and there's Japanese. Really? I mean, really? Couldn't?
No, we discussed that, and we decided this is a universal genre. Hmm. And if you excluded, I think we've got 21 foreign films, including, I think there are probably 8 or 9 British films, 4 or 5 French films, and some German, Italian, Japanese. You can't ignore the contribution that those countries have made to the whole gangster genre. The French, I mean, I did most of the French movies, and the French gangster movie is part film noir, part existentialism. The British gangster movie is dirty and gritty. And I think they all contribute to, I mean, people are fascinated with the mob, with gangsters.
Yeah.
And you can't be provincial about it. You know, we don't have the market on gangsters. It's a universal thing. Glenn jokes about how he spent one weekend looking at about 20, probably a dozen Japanese films, and he just said he came away, he had to get a shower and watch Mary Poppins. They're so violent. So we got a couple of those in there, a couple of Italian movies. And our argument is, if we're going to talk about the 100 all-time best, you can't ignore the foreign films. That being said, I mean, one of the things we mentioned this in the intro, you lose something in the translation. It doesn't apply, obviously, to the British films, but the French, the German, the Italian. You lose something when you're watching subtitles. And our argument was basically this. Think about that scene in Donnie Brasco when Johnny Depp is explaining to the FBI techie what's forget about it mean, and he does that whole riff. How do you think that translates in German or Italian or Japanese? You don't get it. And I think we recognize we lose some of that when we watch the foreign films with subtitles. That being said, I think we got enough out of it that we could rank them. And I think it was important we had them in there.
Well, in some ways, I know that, I mean, the Japanese gangster film is somewhat more frightening, I think, to a non-Japanese speaking audience because, it's like you said, I mean, they can be so violent, and there's no sense that there's any empathy going on whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I think we come away with some of the foreign language films is the wanton brutality, and that's the way that Underworld is. Infernal Affairs, the Hong Kong movie, was the movie on which The Departed was based. Mm-hmm. It's another foreign movie that we have in the book that came out of Hong Kong. So, you know, I think everyone plays off of everyone else. Everyone borrows from everyone else. But it's all part of this universal genre, and that's what we tried to get at.
Were the international gangster movies of the 50s and 60s more violent and more, more violent, I guess? Certainly, the international films were sexier because they had different standards. Mm. But were they more violent than the American films even back then, or were they still a little more? Were they still a little restrained as our films were at the time?
I think it depends on the country. I think Japanese were always into the violence. The French, on the other hand, were the film noir kind of sophisticated. The British films, I think, were grittier and told the story told from the street, you know, and it was a man against the organization kind of thing. So it varied. I think the violence levels, I think, are more intense today than they've ever been. I mean, you look at a movie like Scarface or some of the black underworld films that we've had in the book, King of New York, those kind of things, tremendous amount of shooting and a very high body count. So sometimes, and I would argue, sometimes, especially I think in the last 10 or 12 years, directors and writers substitute violence for narrative, and that's when the movie loses its way.
Mm. Now, in terms of the book coming together, so you and Glenn formed the list first and then got to work, I guess.
Well, we had a general idea what was going to be in, and we started doing the essays, and then we would periodically sit down over dinner and talk about where we were, where we were going. Once we had finished looking at probably 70 movies, then we started to do some ranking, because at that point we knew we had our best already. And the last 10 or 20, you know, we're looking around, right, should we add this one, should we add that one? I would guess in total we probably combined looked at about 200 films and come up with this list.
And once you had the working list, even if they weren't ordered, what surprised you about them? Because there was a lot of research that went into this. It wasn't, I mean, if it was just a ranking of 100 films, it would be a blog entry. It wouldn't be a book.
Right.
So what kind of things did you learn about some of these films after you decided to include them that surprised you?
Well, one of the most amazing things, and this goes to the research, were it not for the internet, this book would have taken probably 2 more years to research. But with websites like IMDb and all the other stuff out there, you can find out a lot of information quickly and you can verify a lot of stuff. So one of the things we tried to do in writing the essay was, one, give a pretty clear picture of what the movie was about and what the high points were, without giving away any kind of twists or turns at the end. And the other thing was the trivia stuff that, you know, you come away saying, either I didn't know that or can you freaking believe that? Mm-hmm. For example, I mean, in Godfather, Pacino was nearly fired 3 or 4 times, and one of the producers was concerned that he looked too Italian in Godfather 1. Now, and they wanted Robert Redford to play that. It's a whole different movie. You know what I mean? You know, so we found those kind of things and you know, casting calls. The other thing that struck me, you know, a lot of these movies I had already seen, and so I was familiar with them. But I looked at Godfather 2, and the first part of Godfather 2, or the part of Godfather 2 that is De Niro, not the first part of the movie, but the prequel. I didn't realize it at the time, but in doing this essay, De Niro speaks almost entirely in the Sicilian dialect in that movie. He says maybe 3 lines in English. Hmm. You don't realize that. But the one line that he does say in English, and it's fascinating to, you know, I think one of the things I came away from in this is an appreciation for movie making and writing and stuff. There's a scene where Bruno Kirby, the young Clemenza, is talking to Corleone, Vito Corleone, De Niro, about, you know, Don Fanucci wants $400, you're only going to give him $100. How's he going to take $100? And they're saying this in Sicilian. Mm-hmm. You know. And then De Niro comes out of the Sicilian and says to Clemenza, don't worry, I'll make him an offer he don't refuse. That was in English, and it echoed what we already knew from Godfather 1, which was one of the classic lines. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things, you know, you don't appreciate it maybe the first time you see it, but when you're looking at it in terms of trying to write an essay about this, those kind of things jump out at you. And I think that's the thing that excited me the most in doing this as I look back on it, is finding out these little kernels that really make something shine. And, you know, as you know, I'm a writer, and I appreciate the word, and I think I got a better appreciation for the dialogue and the writing in movies by doing this book.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
Well, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media interview with George Anastasia, co-author of The Ultimate Book of Gangster Movies. We'll be right back.
You work too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast, if only as directed. Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
Hi, this is George Kennedy. I have a book out. It's called Trust Me. You know what the book is about? The book is about me looking you straight in the eye and telling you the truth about whatever. I tried really hard to tell the truth about everything that came across my way. I hope you get a chance to look at it. Thank you.
This is Patrick Fischler. I've appeared on TV shows such as Mad Men, Lost, and Weeds. I actually have a real career. So what the heck am I doing on Mr. Media Radio with Bob Andelman? Somebody get my agent on the phone right now.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media interview with George Anastasia, co-author of The Ultimate Book of Gangster Movies. George, one of the movies on the list with which I was not familiar is, at least I don't think so, is Underworld USA, starring Cliff Robertson. Reading about it, I wondered if there might ever be a director's cut produced, and if there was any chance that more of the original cut could be restored, or if it's gone.
That was one of the movies that Glenn discovered and Glenn wrote about, and that's a really good question. I mean, there's a lot of that a lot of those movies, there's information and there are, I think there's film floating around out there, but whether anybody has the wherewithal or the desire to do that, it's really kind of a niche kind of thing. People who are into this, I think, would like to see that. It was Cliff Robertson and Samuel Fuller was the director. And we ranked it at 42, which is pretty high ranking. It came out in 1961.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple movies like that where, I mean, and that's the other beauty of this. I think Glenn and I both have our own personal favorites that maybe don't make the top 10, but they're movies that, you know, we like and we'd like to see more people be aware of. One of my favorites is The Friends of Eddie Coyle.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Mitchum movie.
Great book, too. I remember reading the book
absolutely.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
Yep.
George V. Higgins, the former prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of Mitchum's best performances. So Underworld USA, The Friends of Eddie Coyle. I also liked The Road to Perdition, which was Tom Hanks as a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't like that. I thought it was very well done. And then one of my all-time favorites is The Pope of Greenwich Village, which people of my generation are familiar with, but a lot of young people I talk to don't even know that movie. And it's Mickey Rourke.
Mickey
Eric
Rourke,
Roberts.
Yeah, okay. That's what
yeah,
I thought.
It's just a really, really fun movie.
Mm. Now, coming back to Underworld USA, though, I'm guessing from the description, I guess, that Glenn wrote of what was cut by the PCA? It was the overseeing
right, yeah.
committee. The things that were forced to be cut from that movie, if they had managed to stay in or if they could be restored, my sense was that movie probably would have ranked higher on the list if you could see it in its original form.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you know, we can only evaluate the movies based on what you, the public, see. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the arguments that Glenn would make, that this thing had so many revisions. I think there were 4 script revisions, dozens of post-production edits. And, I mean, one of the problems with, and this was 1961, one of the problems with gangster movies through the 60s, all the way back to the 30s, was the issue of censorship. I mean, and that's one of the other things we came up against. And we would make the argument that Don Corleone and Michael Corleone could not have been were they a 1930s film, because a 1930s film, 1940s film, with the censorship issues, gangsters had to come to a bad end. You couldn't glamorize the gangster life. It was almost like, you know, the French novelists from the 18th century. They could write about all manner of debauchery, as long as the principal character at the end died a horrible death and was going to burn in hell. You know, then you can have all the bad stuff. Same thing with gangster movies from the 30s and 40s, and I think some of that sensibility carried on right through the 50s and 60s. Mm. And unfortunately, I think a lot of good film got lost because of that. Whether this still exists, whether the all of those cuts from Underworld USA are still available, don't know.
Mm. You guys did a number of interviews for the book.
Yeah.
Any of those that you got particularly excited about? And was there anyone that you went after who, you know, said no, that turned you down?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, one of the first people, Glenn did the actors, I did the gangsters. We got a couple gangsters in here we interviewed as well. One of the first people Glenn went after was Pacino. And basically he contacted Pacino's agent and said, look, we can do this on the phone. We could do it via email. Can we get 15 minutes with Mr. Pacino? And the response was, is there any money in it for Al?
Oh, well, come on. Really?
Yeah, I swear to God. That was... So, you know, there was...
Right, because he doesn't have enough money.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, if you look at the guys we did get to, and Glenn got a real kick out of all of these guys, Tim Roth, Joe Montagna, Chaz Palminteri, Michael Madsen, Viggo Mortensen. I mean, they were all really down-to-earth kind of guys. They talked about the craft. They talked about the movies. And I think they added a lot to this book. I talked to a guy named Danny Provenzano, who's a gangster out of North Jersey. Another guy named Nick Caramondi, who was a Philadelphia gangster. And they talked about the movies in real life. So, you know, we got, a pretty good mix of sidebars in this book. But, yeah, that was the response. We would have loved to have Pacino and De Niro, but
yeah.
I don't think we had any shot at getting them.
Pacino, was there money in it for him? You know,
Any money for Al. That's what the agent said.
Any money for Al. You know, I'm laughing, but, I mean, I'm constantly... You know, I'll interview a movie star or something. We do a lot of video interviews with the show, and I won't give any names, but there have been actresses who would not do the video interview unless I was willing to pay for their hair and makeup people to come in and fix them up. Like, you know, come on. Please.
It's not reality-based.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
There's also a list of 15 worst gangster movies, and my only surprise there is somehow that Dr. Detroit didn't make the list.
Well, you know, we could have gone to 20 or 30 if we wanted. The sad commentary is most of those movies, or several of them, are Stallone movies. Almost every gangster movie he was in is horrific. Conversely, when Glenn did the ultimate book of sports movies, Rocky was number one, the best sports movie ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had Mickey Blue Eyes, which was another real turkey of a movie. But, I mean, we could have probably done 50 if we wanted terrible gangster movies.
But Dr. Detroit,
I've seen a lot of them.
You know, it's funny. I had Bruce J. Friedman, the writer, was on about a month or two ago. And Dr. Detroit was always this movie that it was kind of a guilty pleasure. I thought it was funny. I thought it was entertaining. I know most people hated it. I didn't realize until he told me that he had written it, and I was like, oh, my God. So, you know, talking to you, I thought, oh, I got to bring up Dr. Detroit. Now, you also connect the dots between everyone, not everyone, but everyone who appeared in the Sopranos TV series who had previous gangster movie credentials. Personally, you mentioned De Niro. I always thought it was a shame that they never found a way to get De Niro and Joe Pesci to drop by, you know, the Bada Bing, even in a cameo of some sort, just to continue that connection.
No, that would have been classic. And maybe it was a question of there wasn't enough money available. Who knows? I think you're right. I think the Sopranos...
Bobby D? Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the Sopranos, I cover this stuff in reality. The Sopranos really nailed the American Mafia at the turn of the century and all the problems that a wise guy has in coping with the next generation, thinking about how better it was the past generation, all of that. I mean, David Chase and those guys did a great job. And it would have been really fun, even to have, not even to give them a speaking line, just have De Niro and Pesci sitting at the Bada Bing drinking a beer. That would have been hilarious.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I got to ask, you know, because I didn't know what you were going to sound like until you got on the phone. You have a voice that sounds like it could easily be in any of these movies. What is your affinity for gangsters and writing about them? And, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm a second generation Italian American. My grandparents came from Sicily. Was born in South Philadelphia, which is kind of the nerve center of the mob in Philadelphia, and I grew up in this area, and I always was fascinated with that. And I was very fortunate when I was first hired to go to work for the Philadelphia Inquirer. It was back in 1976. They sent me to Atlantic City, which was the year of the casino gambling referendum in New Jersey. And part of the debate back then was, is legalized gambling going to bring the mob to Atlantic City? The answer was the mob already was in Atlantic City, but it became part of what I covered. And I just kind of segued from that into doing more and more mob stuff and eventually became the mob writer. And in terms of a reporter and a writer, I think you, other than writing sports, I think you have more liberties in writing about the wise guys than almost anything else. And so I think I was able to develop a style as a writer.
But did it make it tough as an Italian-American? Because, I mean, there's certainly many Italian-Americans who want to distance themselves from that whole culture and lifestyle and even acknowledge that it exists. And then, you know, here you are writing about it and acknowledging it, and you are Italian-American. I mean, it's not like a, I don't know.
No, this is an issue that I deal with all the time. But in terms of access, it helped me get access to these guys. And there was a point in the mid-1990s where I had tremendous access to the wise guys as well as the cops. And, you know, it really helped in telling the story. In terms of the stereotype, I mean, there are groups, Italian-American groups, that consistently argue that any depiction of the gangster reinforces the stereotype that we're all gangsters and we shouldn't be doing this. And one group called me an Uncle Guido and around and around and around. I mean, my response always was, and I would get into this debate over the Sopranos, and my response would always be, any ethnic group that can give America Antonin Scalia and Camille Paglia in the same generation doesn't have to worry about Tony Soprano being its poster boy. I mean, Italians and Italian-Americans know who they are and what they've done. And these gangsters are a small piece of the experience. It's not who we are. But I understand some people in another generation don't see it that way. But it's, you know, I think who better than me to shine a light on this kind of stuff, because I understand the culture. So
right.
I'm not trying to glamorize it, but it is a fact of life.
Check out the Big Brain on Brad.
You're a smart motherfucker. That's right. The metric system.
Well, okay, so finally, what's next? Yeah. I mean, Ultimate Book of Gangsta with Gangsta Movies with an A, or maybe a more apt sequel, The Ultimate Book of Prison Movies, to see where these guys went?
Here's what I think sits out there, because one of the things we debated with when we come up with the definition of a gangster movie was, you know, what about movies like Bullet? Bullet was a cop movie.
Mm-hmm.
The French Connection we put in because it was so great, but in theory it's a cop movie. There are a lot of movies out there that, you know, Kill Bill, those kind of things, that didn't make it because they don't measure up to our definition of a gangster.
Mm.
But they're still great movies. And I think there's a book out there for The Ultimate Book of Cops, Robbers, Babes, and Bad Guys.
Cool.
You know, that sits there.
All right. Let us know when it comes out, and we'll have you back.
Okay. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
All right. Hey, folks, listen, you can find George Anastasia's new book, The Ultimate Book of Gangster Movies, in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. George, are you online at all, a website? Is there a website for the book? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, there's a website for the book, The Ultimate Book of Gangster Movies. I'm also on a Facebook Mob Scene. I do a video for the Inquirer called Mob Scene, so there's a Facebook page called Mob Scene that I'm on. So, yeah, you can find the book on those locations.
Great. All right. Well, listen, George Anastasia, thank you so much for joining us in Mr. Media today.
Thank you. My pleasure. Really appreciate it.
All right. For more original interviews, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Another good idea, download our new free Mr. Media mobile app in the Android market. And you can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many parts of the Internet. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by thepartyauthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also call our 24-hour listener line at 1-727-498-4711. Some messages may be used in an upcoming show. And unless you live next door to Mr. Media, there may be a toll charge. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or our new YouTube and Vimeo video channels. Thanks so much for joining us today. I always appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Hey, folks. You can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it. It's free. Takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Mark Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code MrMedia, MR Media, when you register. And thanks for listening.